So the gospel for this week is all about Jesus breaking the rules of the Sabbath in two completely different circumstances, one to help someone in need and one to feed himself and his disciples. In both cases, the Pharisees, of course, are incensed that Jesus would do such a thing to the point where they conspire to kill him, which, I don't know about you, seems like a bit of an overreaction. They're angry because the Sabbath is explicitly intended to be a day of rest and worship, but decades upon decades of strict religious application of this rule has also lent itself to mean no work whatsoever, even if it's as simple as picking wheat to eat. This isn't the first time Jesus has gotten in trouble with the Pharisees either. The Pharisees happen to be a group of religious fanatics whose zeal for extreme literal interpretation of religious constructs, especially the Ten Commandments, and especially the rule about the Sabbath, often puts them at odds against Jesus. I'm sure all of you have heard stories of a benevolent Jesus and the Pharisees subsequently getting hot and bothered because Jesus broke some sort of rule that was most likely enforced so the Pharisees could continue establishing their social hierarchy. In those stories, and in today's gospel, there's an awkward paradox being created in that the Pharisees are extremely religious, yet morally object to Jesus carrying out important religious values, such as helping those less fortunate and treating others as you would yourself. This isn't to say that there's anything wrong with the Ten Commandments. In fact, I encourage all of you to obey the Ten Commandments to the best of your ability because it promotes a healthy relationship with God. But the Pharisees are missing an important part that I believe is the main point to this gospel. The Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. God created the Sabbath in order to give humans a day of rest after 6 days of hard work, not to force humans to do mental work in order to avoid inadvertently working on Sunday, which, by the way, isn't even the established day for the Sabbath because there is none. I can't presume God's rationale for creating the Ten Commandments and his interpretation other than to guide people's morals and build a foundation for good Christian relationships, but if it was supposed to be this nitpicky, I think Jesus and the Pharisees would have gotten along much, much better than they did in the New Testament. By helping others, Jesus is glorifying God, and that's one of the main points of the Sabbath. He could have just ignored the man with the withered hand, but his conscience told him it wasn't the right thing to do. In the same way, we can use our conscience as a Christian moral compass in order to help us determine the best way to act in situations that are ethically muddled. For example, my parents can come to an agreement on almost everything, but their driving philosophies are slightly different. When I was learning how to drive a couple years ago, once or twice they would give me different instructions for how to hack behind the wheel. The Ten Commandments instructs me to honor and listen to my parents, but which one do I listen to? It's a silly example and one that can be easily solved by listening to and incorporating both of my parents' advice, but I genuinely believe a good conscience is a great supplement to the Ten Commandments and other important Christian values, and certainly something the Pharisees lacked, and it may have prevented them from truly experiencing God's meaning behind the Sabbath, because attempt at murder definitely doesn't sound like a day of rest to me. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gabby. I'm the youth minister of St. Tim's, and I'm going to be doing a second sermon. Don't worry, it's short. I talk really quickly. Natalie did a great job talking about the gospel, so I thought I would talk about something that I love discussing. Me. I joined St. Timothy's in August of 2016. I had just graduated from UC Davis when my mom asked if I wanted to come to church with her. I was terribly unemployed and hadn't left the house in a week, so I said yes because I needed a reason to brush my hair. So I came to St. Tim's. When we got to the anniversary blessings, everyone in the congregation started shouting for Mom and Nan to come up because they had been married for about a week and a half, and that's when I knew that this was a community that I wanted to be a part of. So I started coming to St. Timothy's more regularly, and in February of 2017, I was invited by Deanne and Sue Ellen and Julie and Cindy and Amy and Susan to come to the women's retreat in March. It was at the women's retreat that Donna asked if I would be interested in becoming St. Tim's youth minister. And I said, "Does it matter that I haven't read the Bible?" And she said, "No, you just have to be young." So here we are. So after Lisa brought her Southern Sunshine to our California congregation, I became St. Timothy's youth minister. We started the school year with a pool party at the Shreves, who reassured me that their house had seen it all, and the kids could not destroy it even if they tried. At the pool party, we played games, ate burgers, and got to know each other. I tried desperately to remember everybody's name and made sure that nobody drowned. And from there, we had our group. Youth group met weekly, and we had so much fun. I had so much fun coming up with games and discussion questions and activities. We volunteered at the East Palo Alto Food Bank. We put on the Christmas pageant 2 years in a row and successfully solved an escape room in 45 minutes. Well, I was so desperate to win the approval of these teenagers, but more importantly, I wanted them to feel like they had a place at St. Tim's, that it was somewhere they could come, begrudgingly maybe, and be valued and supported, and know that they are important to everyone in the congregation, that there is a whole group of people who want only the best for them, even if they'd never had a conversation with them. This community means a lot to me. It's a safe haven. It's a place of comfort where I don't have to put on airs or makeup. It helped be a safety valve that lets off some of the pressure of everyday life. When Lisa greets us in the morning and has us take that deep breath, or when the band lifts us all up with their music, it helps me feel like I'm realigning myself with God. Also, I'm not sure if anyone has noticed the crack in the ceiling, but I've always thought, it's always reminded me of like God and Adam reaching for each other, just sort of the two. I thought I'd point it out now. Yeah, right? Okay. When you have this kind of community, it gives you a safety net that makes the world a lot less scary. And you can bring that safety net with you wherever you go, whether it's to college or another country. I'm not sure if all of you know, but I'm moving to Australia in 22 days, but who's counting? And I'm incredibly excited and terrified. And I don't know what to expect, but I know that God is coming with me. He booked a first-class flight, and I'm in coach, but we're on the same flight, so. And my relationship with God has been strengthened and reformed, and because of all of my experiences with you at St. Timothy's. So I just wanted to take this time to say thank you. And may you know God's love through your community, wherever that may be.